Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto entitled The Cosmic Manifestation. We're on chapter 2. And this is text number 31. Tenatmanatmanam Upaiti Shantam Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam Anandam Anandamayo Avasane Anandam Anandamayo Avasane Etam Gatim Bhagavatim Gato ya etam gatim bhagavatim gato ya sa vai punar deha visajate anga sa vai punar de excuse me Savai punar neha visajatenga. Tenat mananam upaiti santam. Anandam anandamayo vasane. Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya. Savai purnar neha visajatenga Tenat manat manam apaiti santam Anandam anandamayo vasane Etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya Savai purnar neha visajatenga. Please chant. Bhagavatam Bhagavatam Toya Vaishnavis. Tena, by that purified. Atmana, by the self. Atmanam, the super soul. Upaiti, attains. Shantam, rest. Anandam, satisfaction. Anandamaya, naturally so being. Vasane, being freed from all material contamination. Etam, such. Gatim, destination. Bhagavatim, devotional. Gita, attained by. Ya, the person. Sa, he. By, certainly. Puna, again. Na, never. Iha, in this material world. Visajate, becomes attracted. Anga, O Maharaj Parikshit. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whatever is available, whatever or whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this mature world, and he never returns. Please repeat. Only the purified soul can attain perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. Purport. We should especially note in this verse the description of Gatim Bhagavatim. To become merged in the rays of the Para Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as desired by the Brahmavadi impersonalist, is not Bhagavatim, perfection. The Bhagavatas never accept merging in the impersonal rays of the Lord, but always aspire after personal association with the Supreme Lord in one of the Vaikuntha spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. The whole of the spiritual sky, of which the total number of the material skies is only an insignificant part, is full of unlimited numbers of Vaikuntha planets. The destination of the devotee, the Bhagavata, is to enter into one of the Vaikuntha planets, in each of which the personality of Godhead, in his unlimited personal expansions, enjoys himself in the association of unlimited numbers of pure devotee associates. The conditioned souls in the material world, after gaining emancipation by devotional service, are promoted to these planets. But the number of ever-liberated souls is far, far greater than the number of conditioned souls in the material world. And the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets never care to visit this material or this miserable material world. The impersonalists, who aspire to merge into the impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence of the Supreme Lord, but have no conception of loving devotional service to him in his personal form in the spiritual manifestation, may be compared to certain species of fish who, being born in the rivers and rivulets, migrate to the great ocean. They cannot stay in the ocean indefinitely, for their urge for sense gratification brings them back to the rivers and streams to spawn. Similarly, when the materialist becomes frustrated in his attempts to enjoy himself in the limited material world, he may seek impersonal liberation by merging either with the causal ocean or with the impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence. However, as neither the causal ocean nor the impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence affords any superior substitute for associating an engagement of the senses, the impersonalist will fall again into the limited material world to become entangled once more in the wheel of births and deaths. Drawn on by the inextinguishable desire for sense engagement. But any devotee who enters the kingdom of God by transcendental engagement of his senses in devotional service, and who associates with the liberated souls and the personality of Godhead there, will never be attracted to the limited surroundings of the material world. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:15, also the same is confirmed. As the Lord says, the great Mahatmas or the Bhakti Yogis, after attaining my association, never come back to this material world, which is full of miseries and is non-permanent. The highest perfection of life, therefore, is to attain his association and nothing else. The Bhakti Yogi, being completely engaged in the Lord's service, has no attraction for any other process of liberation like jnana or yoga. A pure devotee is 100% devotee of the Lord and nothing more. We should further note in this verse the two words shantam and anandam, which denote that devotional service of the Lord can readily bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely, peace and satisfaction. The impersonalist is desirous of becoming one with the Supreme, or in other words, he wants to become the Supreme. This is a myth only. The mystic yogis become encumbered by various mystic powers and have neither peace nor satisfaction. So neither the impersonalist nor the yogi can have real peace and satisfaction. But the devotee can become fully peaceful and satisfied because of his association with the complete whole. Therefore, merging in the absolute or attaining some mystic powers has no attraction for the devotee. Attainment of love of God means complete freedom from all other attractions. The conditioned soul has many aspirations, such as becoming a religious man, a rich man or a first-class enjoyer, or becoming God himself, or becoming powerful like the mystics and acting wonderfully by getting anything or doing anything. But all these aspirations should be rejected by the prospective devotee who actually wants to revive his dormant love of God. The impure devotee aspires after all the above-mentioned material things by perfection of devotion. But a pure devotee has none of these tinges of the above contaminations, Which are the influences of material desires? Impersonal speculations and attainment of mystic powers. One can attain the stage of love of God by pure devotional service or by a learned labor of love for the sake of the devotee's lovable object, the personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada summarizes it here. To be more clear, if one wants to attain the stage of love of Godhead, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment. He should refrain from worshiping any of the demigods. And he should devote himself only to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with the Lord and the desire to have some wonderful powers just to get the ephemeral adoration of the world. The pure devotee is only favorably engaged in the service of the Lord without any hope of emolument. This will bring about love of Godhead, or the stage of Shantam and Anandam, as stated in this verse. Wow. What a powerful purport. Om Agyana Tamadandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakopa, Trubhischa, Kripasindhu, Bevacha, Patitanam, Pavinebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo, Namaha. So the verse again. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. Wow. So this chapter is entitled The Lord in the Heart. So it's given us a description of this cosmic manifestation, and there's different goals that are achieved or finding out in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada mentions the description of this Gatim Bhagavatim, it doesn't mean to merge into this Param Brahman, but it actually means to actually accept Supreme Personality of God as association. So this class can be entitled Shantam Anandam, which is mentioned in this particular verse. And Prabhupada mentions it as complete bliss and satisfaction. And actually, is that the goal? That's the goal of everyone. We all want to be happy, we want to be satisfied and peaceful like that. So this is the goal. But how to get that goal? So in the all throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's teaching us these three processes to attain our goal. And that's the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So if we try to understand what Sambandha is a relationship with Krishna and his energies. So it's Krishna Sambandha. And then Abhideya is that path or the process that we have to take to get there. And here in this particular chapter, we're reading about the process of the fire, the Agni process. It's like a yoga process. But the real path is Bhakti Abhideya. And then we have this Prayojana, the goal of life, which is, we know, Prema, love of God. So it's Prema Prayojana. It's not any other kind of approach. It's not like Krishna Prayojana, but it's actually, if you have love for Krishna, then you'll get Krishna. So that's the goal. Prema Prayojana. So this is the process. So as Prabhupada mentions in this particular verse, we talked about here, as I mentioned, the Archa Adi path, this is one goal that's mentioned. And in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it refers to this chapter that we're studying right now. It's talking about these different levels, these different goals, and these different elevations that there are. And in the second book, chapter 1, there's text 12 to 15 in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And I'll just kind of summarize a little bit of what it's talking and how it relates to this verse. In this one verse here, 12, it says, some persons enjoy pleasures in upper regions, like the realm of fire, and attain liberation gradually in stages. And ascetics fully devoted to spiritual knowledge quickly obtain liberation. So this is that archa adi path that the yogis follow. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami elaborates in this chapter. And just to give a little bit of summary, it starts from the 24th verse of this chapter to the verse today. And first it's talking about how the mystic, he goes to the Milky Way, and then he goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka. And then from there he goes to Vaishvanara. That's the planet of the deity of fire. And then he becomes cleansed of all his contaminations. So Prabhupada mentions that we have to be 100% pure. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So then from there, when he's purified, he goes to the beyond the circle of the Sishumara. And then he attains the planet of Mahaloka, which is where all the purified saints enjoy. And it's mentioned there they enjoy life for 4,300,000,000 solar years. And then from there, they go to Satyaloka, where they can enjoy for 15,480,000,000,000 years. That's the duration of Satyaloka. So in there, there's no old age, there's no death, like that, supposedly, as it's described in the chapter. But after reaching that Satyaloka, then that devotee, he begins to become fearless, and all these different earthly identities, water identities, fire identities, all these different things, elements of the mature world, and then he goes through them, and he enters the ethereal stage. And that way he surpasses all these subtle and gross objects of the different senses. And then he enters into the plane, the most subtle plane of egotism. And then from there he merges into the Mahatattva. And that's when he becomes self-realized. So just see, quite a process. So it's today's verse, it's said here, only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of God in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to reach such devotional perfection is never again attracted by the mature world, and he never returns. So this is the gradual way of liberation. But actually, the Paramahamsas, they're liberated immediately at the end of their current life. So just see how nice that is. So in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, it continues, and it begins to talk about this process. So it says here in verse 13, but even the devotees of the personality of Godhead who still have material desires can enjoy the pleasures they wish and then become fully purified and go to the Lord's abode. So there's a very nice commentary. It describes more about this in detail, about the karmis and their different desires. And they gradually approach this perfection. But it's saying here that a few Paramahamsa jnanis, they achieve immediate liberation. So similarly, though all the Vaishnavas are sure candidates for unlimited perfection or ultimate perfection, the Sakama Bhaktas, those whose devotion to the personality of God, it is mixed with desires to control and enjoy, must first become purified. So this is the process. So then in the next verse, 14, it says, that abode, Vaikuntha, is made of concentrated ecstasy and pure consciousness. Even for liberated souls, it is difficult to attain. But the Lord's devotees who are free from selfish desires reach it at once. So this is actually a conversation going on in the Brihadbhagavatamrita between Mother Uttara and her son, Parikshit. And she's trying to understand what is the highest realms, the Vaikuntha planets. And she's describing these. And it's amazing how it's describing these Vaikuntha planets, you know, as it mentioned here in this verse, concentrated ecstasy of pure consciousness. You can't even imagine that. So it describes very nicely in the purport there how what it's like there, and it's different quotes. So here they're quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 2.9. After deeply considering the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari revealed to the coward man his abode, which is beyond material darkness. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free from the modes of material nature. So that's from the Bhagavatam also, the 10th canto. So, the next verse, 15, describes how the pure devotees living in Vaikuntha enjoy forever in varied ways the happiness of directly serving Sri Krishna's lotus feet. In comparison, the nectar of liberation appears condemned. As Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, how the devotees, once they attain this liberation, they have no desire to come back here. They have no attraction at all. So then, after he mentions these verses, he says here, varied and countless excellencies flow into those devotees like rivers into the ocean. And there's a very nice commentary here that describes that all varieties of perfection are fully manifest in the devotees of Gokula. So they're giving hints here, the highest and higher realms. So those devotees are peacefully beautiful, charming, and graceful. And they're endowed with the valuable assets of religious duty, economic development, sense gratification, and renunciation, knowledge, realization, devotion, and pure love of God. All these perfections are present within them to the utmost degree possible for finite living beings. Whenever the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita depicts the glories of lesser devotees than the residents of Gokula, its purpose is to highlight the greater glories of the Goloka or the Gokula Vasis and demonstrate that all varieties of excellence flow ultimately into the residents of Gokula, just as the waters of all rivers flow at last into the ocean. So that's amazing, isn't it? How, you know, the highest, we have this process to go to the highest platform. But as Prabhupada says, one has to be 100% pure. So this is a very nice instance when in the memories tapes we listen to, there's one when my Guru Maharaj, Jayaprataka Maharaj, he was giving this example how Srila Prabhupada was given a lecture like this, and he's saying how you have to be 100% Krishna conscious. And he was just ramming this point that we have to surrender to Krishna 100%. And then when the class ended, all the devotees were like really serious, you know, and like looking down, and it's like Prabhupada reading their mind, you know, who can come up to the standard of complete surrender? And then Prabhupada, he relaxed his mood a little bit, and then he said, if you can be 90% Krishna conscious, then Krishna will take you back to Godhead. And then and the devotees were looking, and then he was about to leave his Vyasa-san. And he had to go down a few steps, and he noticed the devotees were still kind of dejected, you know, and he said, even if you're 80% surrendered, Krishna will take you. And then still, you know, he started walking off from the from his Vyasa-san, and then he was walking back, and he looked back at the devotees, you know, as he was throwing his chatter back, and he says, even if you're 70% Krishna conscious, still Krishna will take you. So then he walked off with his head very high. So this is Srila Prabhupada, you know. And so we have to see that it's actually possible. Krishna is so merciful, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's given us that opportunity. Even though we may not be perfectly pure, we can still, by the grace of the pure devotees, go back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada gave us that process. Another time, someone asked Jayaprataka Maharaj, he said, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 2 years now, and I still haven't seen Krishna yet. And Jayaprataka Maharaj had to tell him, you know, it actually took Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said that it took him 20 years to see Krishna. So if it took Srila Prabhupada 20 years, what to speak of us? So we have to have this patience and determination which is definitely required. And then Srila Prabhupada gave us this process. He said, if you want to make rapid advancement, in a letter he wrote to Narayani, his disciple, and he gave her the formula. He said, for rapid advancement, you have to chant 16 rounds. You have to study all these books. You have to do Sankirtan, preach. You have to do deity worship. You have to follow the four regulated principles. And you have to engage 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. So she says she's still working on this part, 24 hours a day. But then he explained how do you actually, what's the process of how you can do this? And he said you have to be enthusiastic. You have to sincerely work, in our Krishna consciousness movement. And you have to cooperate with the devotees. So this is how we could do that. So it's so nicely how different times, there's in the memories, Govinda Dasi was explaining when she first got initiated, they weren't sure what it was, but they thought it was going to be some mystical big thing. And then after her initiation, she had some misgivings. And so she went upstairs and talked to Srila Prabhupada. And she told him, I don't feel liberated. I thought that when I was going to get initiated, geez, by golly, I was going to have immediate nirvana. And then Prabhupada was very patient with her, she said. And he said, just see over there the fan. You can see the fan on the altar there. And he said, if I unplug it, it'll still spin a few more times. But because it's been unplugged, it'll eventually stop. So like that, he said, although your material life may not cease immediately because it has been unplugged, it will spin a few more times, but you just follow the process like I told you, and then you'll actually become liberated. So this is our process. And another time, there was this devotee named Prabhanu. They were in Africa, and they were looking at different places to go, and during that time, Prabhupada went on a morning walk. And then there were some guys on the sugarcane truck. They were mocking the devotees very sarcastically as they were walking. They watched Prabhupada, they were walking, and he said, ah, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And then one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, what happens to persons when they chant Hare Krishna like that? And then with a lot of conviction, Srila Prabhupada said, they're liberated. So just see, we see different elevations, different ways of seeing how we can advance. And the process is so simple and beautiful. Just chant Hare Krishna once, you're liberated. But we have to keep on the process. We have to keep on the path. But it's just like a ship. It has its goal. It has to navigate. It has a way of navigating to keep it on course. So in the same way, we have to use our navigating instruments that Srila Prabhupada has given us to keep on course. And I mentioned those so that we don't get, off in some distant place, into some dark place where it's not. So Prabhupada mentions these words, santam, which are very nice, and anandam, which he meant peaceful. So different places throughout the books, you see Prabhupada translate santam as like perfectly peaceful or silent, rest, or sober, serene, and then also in the same, like peaceful, calm, and quiet. And there's one verse in the Bhagavatam 49 which describes this peaceful, calm, and quietness, where it comes from. And this is right in the verse. The Lord is decorated with small golden bells around his waist, and his lotus feet are decorated with golden ankle bells. All his bodily features are very attractive and pleasing to the eyes. He is always peaceful, calm, and quiet, and very pleasing to the eyes and the mind. So where do we get peace, calm, and quiet? Just by seeing Krishna. Krishna has it all. So just see that the Lord's decorated with these things. So if we associate with the Lord and his name, we get these also. And then the word anandam is also translated different ways throughout Srila Prabhupada's books and in the Vedas, depending. Sometimes it says changeless, ananda means put to rest, or it also probably mentioned how it doesn't refer to bliss of impersonal liberation, but sometimes they translate it like that. Or transcendental bliss. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another verse which brings up this point of transcendental bliss, which Prabhupada describes anandam in this particular verse. So here's the verse. It's from Madhya 14:227. The damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar. The talking is singing. The walking is dancing. And the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. So this is that anandam. And where is it? It's experienced everywhere. It's just like emanating everywhere in the spiritual world. So this is very nicely described. So let's go back to the purport and see if we have some more clues. Srila Prabhupada's talking here. So as we mentioned, the devotees, they're in Vaikuntha planet and they have no desire to go anywhere else. But we have to be careful, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that the impersonalists will fall down into the limited material world to become entangled once more in the wheel of birth and deaths and drawn on by the inextinguishable desire for sense engagement. So there's a nice point here that's brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is from 558. And this is bringing that point across about how this enjoyment spirit. This is the verse. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases one's life illusions and thinks of terms of I and mine. So this is that process. And it's nicely described. There's a very nice book this is from Suhota Swami, Dimensions of Good and Evil. And he describes there about this bhakti marga, this bhakti path, and how it's transferring the soul from this dead material forms to these divine ecstatic forms. So it's very nicely described. In one chapter he described here on the Zoroastrian nexus. And he talks about how this is a group of people that actually thinks its celibacy and following these principles is actually against your nature. So they're describing how it's so materialistic that they don't understand how these things are going on. But and the Pukki describes here, whether on heaven or in earth, the sin quo non, which means the essential condition of something, and something that's absolutely necessary. So the absolutely necessary, whether you're in heaven or earth, of material enjoyment is sex. So sexual attraction is a perversion of attraction to Krishna. To achieve a personal association with Krishna, this attraction must be purified. So he quotes from the second canto, and he quotes this verse that we just read today, our verse. Only the purified soul can attain to the perfection of associating with the personality guided in complete bliss and satisfaction. So then he says here, time is the irresistible force that pulls living beings together in sexual relationships all over the universe. The same time factor brings them to stress and separation. Ultimately, time dissolves the entire cosmic manifestation. Thus, sexual attraction is inseparable from fear and destruction. So Gwen, another verse that he says here about this attraction, and he's quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam 9:11-17. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Shiva, and is a cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attracted to household life in this material world. So here it's described very nicely that how we should actually get free from these things. As we mentioned, Prabhupada gives us the clue, the system, the process to follow this to keep us on course on our path. And so he's talking about how this particular society or this organization, they lack this discipline in modern culture. But he's referring to the Bhagavad Gita, which describes how it breaks down this discipline. It's traced to how we're just contemplating the senses. And that's in the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. From anger, complete delusion arises. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls again into the material pool. So because of the karma philosophy begins with the contemplation of the sense objects, it ends in the breakdown of all the spheres of human endeavor, physical, intellectual, social, and religious. The karma philosophy was, is, and remains the root, main root of materialistic culture. That's what he says in his book there. So this is the root of that. So here we have to understand how Srila Prabhupada mentions also, he quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse in this particular purport. And he mentions there this verse, Mama Pecha Punyar Janma Dukalayam Asasvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Samsidim Param Gati Gata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. It's a really nice purport and short, but I won't read it. But he just says that how the devotees, they achieve the highest perfection in that purport. So this is what happens. So he mentions also in the next verses how from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where death takes place. And then he brings out how he compares the material world to the spiritual nature in the next verses in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says here, by human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all the living entities become manifest from the unmanifested state, and thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. So again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they're helplessly annihilated. So this is a process in the material world. This is what happens. So this is, we're comparing the spiritual world to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada, Krishna in the next verses explains to Arjuna that there's another nature which is eternal, is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and it's never annihilated. And when all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. So he describes that as supreme abode. And this is, there's nothing greater than him, and that we can attain that through this devotion. So this is what our goal is. This sambandha is Krishna sambandha, the bhakti abhideya, which is the path, and the prema prayojana, which is the goal, is this love of God. And we're given the process, the simplest process, not having to go through this mystic process, which is very cumbersome and is very difficult and takes a long time. But we can get there very quickly. As Prabhupada said, liberation is as simply as saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. But we have to follow the process to get to the higher levels. So, any comments or questions? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Yes.
Prabhupada, what does that mean that they get liberation? Prabhupada said that you get the opportunity to become a devotee.
Yes.
So it's not like you know that person who said Hare Krishna or a family member on the strength of, you know, say you're being a pure devotee, goes back to Godhead, but they will get the opportunity to be a devotee. And Prabhupada said that is, being a devotee is like, that includes liberation. So that was how Prabhupada explained it on that occasion.
That's a good point, yeah. The greatest opportunity we have. And the devotees are making it available. Okay, I think your hand went up first. Oh, well, wherever Michael goes first, I guess.
I was wondering, what's the meaning of that 60%? Initiation, sannyasi, guru, on paper, what that means?
Oh, and it means that you are to be liberated. We says 100%, then the Prabhupada said 70, 60, and
yeah, what is that 60%? Initiation, sannyasi, guru?
It just means that you may not be pure. You may not be 100% pure. You may still have some material desires in your heart. And so Krishna is very merciful that he will actually take you back home, back to Godhead. Then Prabhupada somehow say, if you follow these four regulated principles, you know, chant Hare Krishna and preach, I will personally come and take you back home, back to Godhead, right? Even if you're not qualified. Something like that. I'll come from the back door and I'll grab you. So, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, and it took me 20 years to...
20 years, yeah.
...to perfect, you know. So, did he explain why he said like that? You know, he's pure devotee. Their statement
is spiritual. Yeah, I wasn't there. That was just the part that Jai Pratakumaraj was mentioning, that Prabhupada said it took him 20 years. I don't know where he said or you know, what else he said regarding that. But... it could be his humility, or it could just show that, you know, it takes time, patience. You know, there was never a time when I did not know Krishna. But to actually, like, maybe personally see him, I'm not sure. We'd have to see. I think there's another question over here. Yeah.
In regards to that point that Prem Sankirtan was asking about, I read in the Bhagavatam a couple of days ago that by the order of the Lord, sometimes a pure devotee gets sent here, seemingly in a normal human condition, and despite all impediments, they eventually get back to being a pure devotee. And then in that process, they're able to pull people with them who would otherwise not be liberated.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you. Jai. Okay, if there's no further questions. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.